You're myself.
Commissioner.
Okay.
One of these.
Is that good? Topics. Okay, I can hear. I'm good now. I'm glad we had this discussion about our speakers. New technology in our new office building is a work in progress. So it is Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. Commission of the Port Authority of Houston is now called to order at 9:15. Let me just start with a couple of key things. First, what a great week we had with Fleet Week. It was the inaugural Fleet Week in Houston, brought multiple U.S. naval vessels and thousands of sailors and Marines and Coast Guardmen to the city. It was amazing. When I was traveling around the city, I always saw just tons of fun people in uniforms, and it was really great. So there are more than 200 events across the region. Port Houston was proud to host three Navy ships at our wharfs to make the event possible. In fact, more than 12,000 people toured the vessels that were docked at our terminals. We really value the opportunity to show our respect and appreciation for the brave men and women of the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard who sacrificed so much to defend our country and our freedom. I've had a really fun time at the LaPorte Parade breakfast. It was attended by a lot of really, really fun people in LaPorte, and we were able to see the ships as they came up through the channel. It was a lot of fun. Dozens of staff across our organization worked to bring this to fruition, led by Cameron Spencer, Jonathan Barrera, and Jessica Thomas. Thank you for all the other folks. I know there were tons of people that were involved, tons of staff members who worked on the event. It was great for our region, our city, and the port. In addition to Fleet Week, we're celebrating something else, too, and that is the 70th anniversary of the very first container ship named Ideal X. I don't know if many of you know this, but in 1956, the founder of the modern container industry, Malcolm McLean, he converted the steamship Ideal X from a World War II era oil tanker into the first modern container ship. On April 26, 1956, the Ideal took its maiden voyage from Newark, New Jersey, here to Houston, specifically to the Turning Basin Terminal, carried 58 containers that were uploaded or unloaded in Houston. It was the beginning of the modern container shipping era, and it truly revolutionized our industry, and it created a new way of thinking and standardized ship system to ship goods. He later became a shipping container containers under the company named Sealand Service, which was purchased by Maersk in 1999. And the Maersk line is one of our largest customers today, I think, in our customer base today. The entire modern container shipping industry is a direct descendant of the Ideal X and McLean's container system. Lastly, very exciting news. The very first Anchored in Action Community Investment Plan officially published. If you hadn't got your copy, it's very heavy, and it's got a lot of great information, and we're really, our port is the first in the nation of tonnage, and we're now the first in the nation to take a comprehensive look at how we, alongside our partners, can support our port region and our neighborhoods. Our team spent most of the last year meeting with residents of 14 communities in the Ship Channel area, where residents themselves shape priorities through open dialogue and shared aspirations and of their quality of life transformation and transformative projects and programs. I also understand they ate a lot of pizza along the process. We also met with industry stakeholders and elected officials to determine how to design Anchored in Action to be an adaptable and inclusive bridge between communities and corporate social responsibility. Anchored in Action brings these many months work together in a visionary roadmap of how Port Houston and industry can partner with the extraordinary communities near the Houston Ship Channel. The entire document will be available on the port. I urge you to check it out. This book, understanding what needs to be done is just the first step. Thank you to our industry partners, elected officials, community members for taking this first step with us. Port Houston has already taken the second step on this journey by committing $1 million to the Anchored in Action plan this year, in addition to the $500,000 community contributed to the projects through our community grant program that's underway now. I invite our partners to join Port Houston on this journey to build a brighter future for our community and our region. This definitely is the start of what we hope to be a large project, leveraging the work that our team has done and leveraging our own capital to be able to create more value in the communities that all of our partners and impact every single day. We clearly provide lots and lots of jobs and economic activity, but we also have a lot impacts that happen along with those jobs. Make sure that we, as a community, with all of our teams, can leverage our capital to improve our communities, one community at a time and one project. The Anchored in Action program sets us up really well to do that. So I want to congratulate our team, Maria, Garrett, Jessica, Megan, and several others who work extremely hard on this new initiative. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Anchored in Action transforms our community investments for years. Thank you. Great job getting it done. Now we just need to put the system in place and get projects going, because ultimately that's what it's all about, right? So thank you for that. I just want to thank our teams. Whenever we start a meeting, I always think about how we're just an integral part of the community. We are a team. We have our ILA team members, our seafarers, the Corps of Engineers, the Coast Guard, the pilots, all of our Port Houston team members that work every day tirelessly, create value for everyone in our region. So thank you very much for everything you're doing there. Commissioners, anybody want to make a comment or say hello?
Hello.
Okay. All right, so let's approve the item C1 is approval of the from our March 23rd meeting. Okay, any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Okay, Charlie.
Thank you, Chairman. So first, in terms of the overall port, our public terminals plus the more than 200 private terminal facilities making up the Port of Houston are off to a really good start in 2026. Year to date, our foreign tonnage is up through February. By the way, that's the latest customs or the U.S. Census Bureau release of the data on the private terminals. We're up through February, which after a slowdown last year, really we're back up to the record volumes that occurred in 2024. So we had a little dip. That dip's been mostly recovered through the first 2 months of the quarter, and things are looking very bright for the overall port, the job creation. Our foreign tonnage is the largest in the nation, and it's more than 15% of all international tonnage shipped through the United States. We're clearly a primary gateway for the nation. Exports of refined products, crude oil, and petroleum gases are trending at three-year averages, which are all highs. Houston ranks first in refined products and petroleum gas exports, second in crude oil, and fifth in container volumes. Chairman, you mentioned the Ideal X, and it's true that our port would not be where it is. The creation of the standardized container providing incredible efficiencies, reducing cargo theft, and just so many efficiencies really revolutionized the international trade and created today's world marketplace. In terms of our current volumes at the public terminals, through the first quarter of this year, we topped 1 million TEUs, just a few more containers than the 58 that came off X. This is a 2% increase from the same time period. So, again, a new record. And Ryan will provide more specifics on our current volumes. Container volumes support the regional economy and jobs, which directly relates to our core focus as economic development and job creation. I've mentioned before that over the last 11 years, our container volumes are growing. And as these container volumes continue to grow, we continue planning to meet future needs. First, we're continuing to build out and densify Bayport and Barber's container as the most effective and efficient pathway to expand our region's capacity in the near term, effectively doubling their current capacity to meet forecasted market demand for up to 10 years. In fact, you hear today from our infrastructure team that we're building the next with moving forward with the building of Wharf 1 at Bayport. Second, and for several years, Port Houston has been evaluating alternatives for the third terminal once Barber's Cut and Bayport are finished. To continue to handle that cargo demand that is so essential to supporting the regional economy, our forecast again shows that capacity need for this terminal is in about 10 years from today. Now, earlier this month, we actually filed an application with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for a potential site for Terminal 3 on the north side of Barber's Cut on Spelman Island. It's important that we applied for the permit now due to the very long timeline for effective facility development. It takes a long time to get the whole thing ready officially. The permitting process is just one step in a long path to evaluate this project. Part of the permitting process includes considering other options, and we are still seriously evaluating at least one other option that is not. Once all the evaluations are complete, the final step in the planning phase will be a formal investment decision by the Port Commission for what we believe at that time is the best location. As I said, applying for the permit is one of many steps as we prepare to meet the future container needs for our region, for our country. It's a very exciting step. I applaud the many team members who worked together to get us to this point. And by the way, they had a 2-year schedule and they met it with 6 days to spare. So again, on schedule, on budget, something we're very proud of. And so finally, I'd like to recognize a Port of Houston executive leader that's at our last Port Commission meeting. Jessica Shaver, our Chief Administrative Officer, is retiring after 15 years with Port Houston. She's held multiple roles during her time here, hired first as a Strategic Planning Manager, eventually moving to Director of Corporate Strategy, Chief of Staff, and to the Chief People Officer before her present role. Impressive career. Now, Jessica has helped us shape our strategic direction, getting us better aligned as an organization. She has fierce attention to detail and has been a true champion of the people who work here. I have truly enjoyed working with her over the years. It's bittersweet to see her go. We'll miss her here, but I couldn't be happier for the opportunity she has time to spend time with her growing family. Jessica, thank you for your hard work and dedication to Port Houston, and we wish you the very best. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Commissioners, any questions or Charlie or comments? I think that's that ship has sailed. Thank you, and thank you, and best of luck, Jessica. Thanks. Okay, so let's move on then to appearances. So we are very happy today to have Houston City Council member Mario from District H here with us today. Welcome, and thank you. I think you're good.
into your neighborhood, your community, your parks, your streets. And that's what gives me hope, that this is a intentional, serious effort to be a good neighbor and to help support communities that for a number of years, for whatever reason, may not have felt this level of attention or engagement. So I'm very proud to see this kick off and become an initiative. I look forward to being at y'all's launch later this year. And just know you have my continued support to help bring industry and partners along the way to add on to y'all's investment, because it is going to be transformational for a number of communities in a significant. I want to applaud y'all for all the efforts that went into it and look forward to continuing to work with you to better the communities, and especially the ones in District H. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Next up, we have Denise Schaefer from Oddfield, USA.
Good morning, Chairman Campo, commissioners, and my fellow maritime colleagues. Denise Schaefer, and I'm with Oddfield, USA, and I'm excited to speak to the about a new initiative of partnership with Port Houston and the surrounding maritime industry called Anchored in Action. Port Houston has a long and generous history of corporate social responsibility. Like the port, Oddfield has a strong sense of corporate responsibility to the environment and to socioeconomics that extend beyond our corporate responsibility and into practices that affect our employees and our local communities. When Anchored in Action was first mentioned to my general manager, Gareth Williams, and I, we both knew it was a good fit, and we are truly excited to be a part of this organization. I would like to highlight some of the unique qualities of the proposed program. A partnership offers opportunities between the port and ship channel industries that are not predicated on the size of the company. All are invited to this party. It's a very exciting, especially for a little Norwegian company over here in the United States. So we're so excited. We were extremely impressed by the research of Port Houston's team into their neighboring community. It is expansive, detailed, done with care, concern, and really hearing all the parties of the neighborhoods where the help is needed. That is no simple task. Within the plan, there are a wide variety of opportunities for impacting our neighborhoods. They range from the volunteer elbow grease type with small financial commitments to medium-sized ventures, and finally, the big, beautiful dream type of projects with everything that falls in between. Collaboration of all the parties will bring strategic alignment of resources, which provides leverage for grants and other funding mechanisms. It also fosters relationships between the partners involved in Anchored in Action. We are stronger together than alone in our efforts. Finally, the launch of this project is just the beginning. Ambition goes beyond and seeks to develop Anchored in Action into future foundation that will carry on, grow, and hopefully always help our local communities with impactful, real-life, true-need, personal, and societal growth. I'll conclude today with some core values of philanthropy. From the earliest of times, the idea of giving is synonymous with humanity. Science backs up the fact that volunteering and giving of one's assets significantly boosts physical and mental health while reducing stress, loneliness, and even your blood pressure. It also increases self-confidence and provides a sense of purpose while strengthening social networks, building support systems, and enhancing social empathy. In a world where it seems many seek to divide folks rather than find common ground, I think endeavors such as Anchored in Action should be promoted and applauded by all. Thank you again, Port Houston, for the incredible work and for the opportunity of industry to join you in this important initiative. We can't wait to see what we accomplish together for our collective communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Maritza Guerrero from Community Family Centers.
Thank you, distinguished commissioners. Well, well said. Anchored in Action is an amazing project. I will talk from a community-based organization, grassroots organization, where we were privileged to be one of the sites where the listening sessions took place. The people felt heard. They thanked us. They came up and said, thank you. They have heard us. They felt that you were advocates, that the port was of advocate, that things that they could not see come to fruition, they are hoping that they will. I've just flipped through this. I said, this is a tall order. And, oh, my board has a lot to do as well. But definitely they felt that they were being heard, especially in a moment of gentrification, because community, and there's a lot of movement, a lot of change, and they want to continue to see, they were interested and wanted to see their community improved. And with the respect of the culture that surrounds it and the history that surrounds it. So as an organization that has been a hub in the community, really can appreciate what the Port of Houston is doing, has been doing, and the partnership that it means, the trust that the community feels and will continue to feel as these things get implemented are critical to continue to building this relationship. So I appreciate as a member and overseeing the organization, but as part of the community, seeing the excitement that they had, that they were planning for about 100 and there was 15% over the participation. So that was really great to see. And the, like I said, the excitement, and yes, they did eat a lot of pizza. But to the team, it was an amazing team. They heard. And I'm really looking forward to see everything that's stated as community centers is anchored in the community. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes our appearances. We will go to the agenda. We have nothing on executive. Do we have any reports on that? And external affairs? And, yeah, you're going to give me a sheet, right?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You do have something?
Yes. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Good morning. I'm sure everybody has heard a lot about Anchored in Action, so I'll be very brief. I feel like I can retire now. That's basically the message, I guess.
No, you have to get it done.
Oh, okay. Got it.
At least started.
No, all I want to say is 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago when I came to the port, my purpose was to be able to make a positive impact in the communities that surrounded the port. That's what I was hired for, and I really committed to it wholeheartedly. And I just want to thank everybody because you've really fulfilled in many ways the purpose that I gave myself when I started here 5 years ago, and it feels incredible. The buy-in. I'm so proud of the team. Garrett and Jessica, they ate 600 pizzas. So if that doesn't tell you how hard they worked, I don't know what will. We appreciate everybody's commitment. We appreciate the communities that came out and believed in how much we wanted to hear from them and participated. And I just want to tell everybody, being a part of this means that you get to be a part of strengthening and reweaving the social fabric of these communities. It is huge and meaningful. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Leo, you're up now. Go ahead, Lee Wilson.
Sometimes I'm late, sometimes I'm early. Always been the good morning. Excuse me, Chairman Campo and Port Commissioners. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Leo. Just want to give a brief staff report on key projects for channel infrastructure before moving to our agenda items. So the dredging of our at Care Terminal Berth 5, we worked to expand and deepen the berth there for the tenant. That has now been completed. Execution was delayed by a few weeks. I know I mentioned this previous port commission, but now that we've completed it, we work very closely with the infrastructure, port infrastructure team. So the tenant is now effectively able to accommodate a 751-foot overall length vessel at J5 while simultaneously and safe without impact accommodating a 617 overall length vessel at J4. So long time coming for that. Moving into the agenda items, this month Channel Infrastructure has 11 agenda. Several of these items are typical material placement, leases, licenses, renewals, and permits. I would like to highlight H1, H2, and H9. Item H1 is a request to award two professional service contracts for dredge permitting, design, associated construction services to GeoSyntech Consultants, Inc. and Gehagen and Bryant Associates, Inc. in the amount of $5 million each. These are task order-based contracts that will support both maintenance and potential expansion efforts to meet ongoing capacity needs of the Houston Ship Channel and port adjacent berths. Item H2 is a request to award a professional service contract to Yellowstone Landscape Central, Inc., Incorporated, for the maintenance and monitoring of dredge material placement areas in the amount of $1,223,350. This supports our ongoing effort to maintain our sites with specific weekly focus on placement areas in neighborhood adjacent locations. Then item H9 is a submerged lands lease to LaPorte Dock and Rail covering approximately 11.3 acres. The lease also includes a throughput component of 4 cents per barrel associated with the existing dock on the premises. If there are no questions, I respectfully ask for your approval for items H1 through H11.
Any questions or comments? If not, all in favor, say aye. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Leah. Thank you. Next up, we have Rena Lawrence from Commercial. Right, Rena? There you go. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. My name is Rena Lawrence, Economic Development Director, and I'll be presenting this month's commercial agenda items on behalf of John Mosley. But before I do that, I'd like to quickly provide you all with a few commercial-related updates. I'll begin by welcoming our new Trade Development Director, Mr. Eric Holbeck, who joined Port Houston 3 weeks ago. He brings more than 25 years of maritime experience, primarily with ocean carriers and third-party logistics providers. Most recently, he served as Vice President of Trade Development at the Port of Mobile, and we're pleased to have him on board and look forward to his leadership and expertise. Additionally, recent customer feedback indicates we're seeing growing interest in shifting refrigerated import containers from the U.S. Atlantic Coast ports to Houston as they look for a more cost-effective gateway for perishables headed to Texas consumers. We're coordinating closely across all teams, especially with operations, to ensure we are well-positioned to successfully capture and support this growing demand. Lastly, we recently participated in the Texas Delegation International Trade Mission invited by the Governor's Office of Economic Development. The focus was on strengthening trade relationships, encouraging investment, and highlighting Texas as the place to do business. Our participation helped reinforce key partnerships and maintain strong positioning for future cargo growth and industrial investment opportunities. So with that, I will go ahead and stop there. And if there are no questions, I will move on to this month's four agenda items for Commercial Division. Three are trade development related, and I-4 is a real estate item for your consideration. Beginning with item one, is a request to approve a contract with Heroic Maritime to provide commercial support in the development of increased refrigerated cargo volume to Port Houston. Item two is a request to enter into a non-binding sister port and friendship agreement with two principal Guatemalan ports to strengthen relationships and foster commercial cooperation between our ports. Item three is a request to amend and extend our longstanding memorandum of understanding with the Panama Canal Authority. And lastly, item four is a request to assign agent representation to Colliers to market and lease the port's Green Bayou property. With that, if there are no questions on any of those four items, I seek your approval for commercial division items I-1 through I-4.
Any questions or comments? All in favor to say aye. Thank you, Rena.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Chris Edwards from Finance. Chris Lawrence.
I'll introduce
or Edwards, I'm sorry. Chris Edwards from Finance.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm here today to introduce Andrea Dunlap. She's with the Forfus accounting firm. She will go over the audit, the 225 audit, and talk about those results. At that point, Chris Edwards will come up.
Okay.
Good morning, Port Commission. I am Angela Dunlap, and I'm the audit partner from Forbes Mazars that performed the audit this year. And I have with me today Erica Brown, who's the director, and also Clara Holt, who was one of the senior associates on the engagement. I don't believe you might have a copy, I believe, now of the presentation. Wonderful. But we also have put it up on the slide. So myself and Erica will be going over the results of the audit this year. You have more detail in the presentation than what we'll actually cover. But if you do have any questions, definitely feel free to let us know. This report covers the audit of the Port of Houston Authority, the P&D Fund, Promotion and Development Fund, as well as the OPEB plan. So on slide 20, this is really just kind of a quick executive summary of the engagement this year. We will be, once we receive the management representation letter, be issuing unmodified opinions on the ACFR, the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, the P&D Fund, and the OPEB plan. In addition, we do issue a report on internal control over financial reporting and compliance that had no findings. And then we also perform the audit of your federal and state award funding under the uniform guidance and the Texas Grant Management Standards, and we'll be issuing reports in relation to those programs. We did audit three programs in total, two federal and one state. On the next slide, we just wanted to make you aware that there are some accounting standards that will be applicable for the port in the coming years. The first two, GASB 103 and 104, are effective next year. GASB 105 is in 2027. GASB 103 will have some implications to the port in relation to financial reporting, so there will be some modifications in MD&A as well as the financial statement themselves. But we will be working with management this year as we go through that particular implementation. If you go to the next slide, one more slide after this, this just outlines really the scope of our audit, which we conducted as of December 31st, 2025 and 2024. We are responsible for issuing an opinion on the financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles under generally accepted auditing standards as well as government auditing standards. On the next slide, just want to make you aware that we are independent in relation to the port and its related entities. And as I mentioned, the next slide is just a more detailed summary of what our responsibilities were with respect to the ACFR and the federal and state funding. On the next slide, we just want to make you aware that there is other information that is included in the ACFR as it relates to the introductory section, the statistical section, and the debt disclosures or continuing disclosures. Those are not audited. Those are unaudited, but we do review them to make sure that they're materially consistent with the financial statements and what's been presented, and we had no issues with respect to that aspect. So Erica is going to cover the rest of this presentation, but again, if you have any questions, just let us know.
Okay, thank you. So slide 28, so if you go two slides, we do just want to call out that this year in note one, you will notice that there's a note about the reclassification of certain amounts in the 24 column. Historically, the management has presented to the commission certain information, and then certain information has been in the ACFR, and the accounts have not necessarily aligned. So you'll see this year the ACFR aligns with more of the information that has been
historically presented to the commission kind of has to do with the changing business of the port and kind of how, you know, things have changed from more less vessel and cargo to more, I think it's called forget what it's called, but it's less kind of more of how the port has worked now. We didn't have anything else unusual or alternative to talk about, and we do just like to highlight the estimates that are in the ACFR for y'all. The next slide, we do just mention again that reclassification. And so then when we get to our adjustments, we did have a few adjustments this year. Two of those were proposed and recorded by management. One had to do with the P&D cash. And then the next slide, one of them was just a reclassification between net position classes on the financial statements. There was no effect to net position as it relates to that $7 million. And then there were five uncorrected misstatements. So these were misstatements that we brought to management, and they passed on booking these. I think two of these they'll book in the next year. And then the FEMA one, the two ones related to FEMA, they're going to look at those next year as it relates to the FEMA receivables. The next slide is really just more of our required communications. We do just like to let y'all know certain things we've talked with management. I know tariffs have been in the news, and we have mentioned to management about the IEEPA refundings and whether or not the port's going to do that. And then this year, of course, the implementation of Workday was huge, and that was going on during our audit. And so we personally, as the auditors, will look at that next year, since that was a fiscal year 26 thing. But we'll probably hopefully try to do a lot of that in the summer, making sure that the implementation and the conversion from JDE to Workday was as it should have been. Going to slide 33, we do just like we had one finding that we would discuss with y'all. As Angie mentioned, we do issue a report on internal control over compliance. And so slide 35 goes into what that finding was on that report. It just relates to DERA, which is one of y'all's federal programs. As it relates to the inventory count and the documentation around the inventory count that was performed this year. And so that is a significant deficiency, so you will see that in our single audit report, which is a separate report that we issue outside of the ACFR. And that is it. If you go to slide 39, it does have more information for y'all to browse later about those specific adjustments that we talked about. And then that is the end of our presentation. Are there any questions?
Any questions, commissioners? And our audit committee is after this, so you'll get to see it again. Okay. Good question. Next time. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hearing for first commissioners, I'm here to ask for your approval for the 2025 financial statements and the ACFR.
Is there a motion? All right. Any other questions, comments? Not all in favor, say aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job, Chris.
Good morning, Chairman Campo and commissioners. My name is Juwan Cole. I'm the Managing Director of Port Infrastructure. Today, I'll be presenting two RCAs totaling about $214,000. But before covering those items, I would like to highlight just a few recent accomplishments. On March 30th, the Port Infrastructure and Strategic Sourcing teams joined in hosting a contractor engagement workshop to provide partners with an overview of Port Houston's upcoming capital investments and delivery strategy through 2030 and beyond. The workshop was designed to foster collaboration with qualified firms and align on delivery of projects more efficiently and at scale. I'm happy to report that we had 74 attendees representing 65 companies across the industry. This demonstrates strong engagement and market interest in our capital program. The effort was made possible through tight coordination and leadership and support with the PCM teams, including Craig Casper and Carrie Mike, and the strategic sourcing team, including Erica Stevens Lynch, Summer Freeman, Cassandra Fontenot, Pedro Garcia, and Dean Anodin. Secondly, yesterday we began construction on Bayport Wharf 1. This project will deliver approximately 1,300 linear feet of new wharf infrastructure capable of supporting up to 7 ship-to-shore cranes, and is expected to be in service approximately September of 2028. Now with that, I will highlight items K1 and K2 for your review and approval. Amendment K1 is an amendment to an existing professional services contract with Wiss, Janey, Elsman & Associates. This amendment supports the integration of our corrosion and marine facility condition assessment standards into a unified inspection manual. The outcome will improve the inspection efficiency, consistency, and long-term asset management value of our infrastructure. Item K2 is a change order with Russell Marine for additional repair work at Wharf 23 at Turning Basin Terminal. These repairs address damage from the 2024 derecho event. The change order reflects additional deterioration and damage identified after the removal of the fender panels during construction. This was not visible during the initial inspection. So with that, I can address any questions that you have. Otherwise, I am asking for your approval of items K1 and K2. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Well, Mesa does not have any items this month, but I'd like to share a few highlights. At BCT, Mesa staff is actively engaged in striping, stenciling, cleaning container pads. It's a big task, and kudos to ops. We have to work hand-in-hand with them and to reach the areas that need to be addressed. So thank you to ops and maintenance on that. Also at Barber's Cut, we finished, as you can see, the 3 cranes are at work, cranes through 311, 312, and 313 have been commissioned. So we're waiting for the last one to be commissioned in the coming weeks. So that's exciting news. The total fleet of wharf cranes at Barber's Cut at the moment is 16. Okay, so exciting news for Barber's Cut. At Bayport, we completed the offloading of those 4 cranes, as you see in the picture. They were successfully offloaded on April 8th. So just a big shout out to all those involved in this huge task to safely offload these cranes, ranging from, of course, the crane manufacturers, EPMC, Coast Guard, the pilots, stevedoring companies, and all personnel involved. So thank you for their hard work on this. So the pre-commissioning activities are underway, and we hope those 4 cranes will be up for commissioning by early June. Okay. Also at Bayport, we recently commissioned 6 RTG cranes. So they were part of a package of 16 RTG cranes. We commissioned the last 6. So we have 94 RTGs now at Bayport and 69 at Barber's Cut. So about 50% of those are hybrid. Okay. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Commissioners, any questions? Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ryan, you're up.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Only one ops item on the agenda today, but first a few highlights through Q1 of this year for the public terminals. The excitement of chasing a volatile market continues. I'm pleased to report, to Charlie's point, you know, the growth pace continues at 5% in total tonnage year to date, handling nearly 14 million tons. Our multipurpose facilities continue to performed well, up 20% year to date, despite the expected continued decline in steel tonnage, now down 27%. Dry bulk tonnage continues to surge, now up nearly 63% year to date, driven by export grains and import bulk cement. Liquid bulk also continues to drive growth, now up 26% year to date. Notable investments continue across our facilities, with noteworthy investments by tenants at our Woodhouse grain elevator and care terminal to further drive tonnage growth. After a lackluster February, marked was a tremendous rebound for container volumes at Bayport and Barber's Cut, where we set a monthly record for loaded containers handled, nearly 180,000. And as Charlie mentioned, surpassing the 1 million TEU mark in Q1 with a 2% growth for the year, keeping us on pace to surpass 4 million TEU for the third consecutive year. Regretfully, the growth trend has not continued into April. We're seeing a pronounced decline in both import and exports. As best we can tell, this decline is hitting all major volume gateways in the U.S., driven by conflicts in the Middle East, with now significant delays in the Panama Canal, where transit slot premiums have increased over 40% in the last 10 days. We've worked 523 vessels year to date, which is up 9%. Chairman, you mentioned it being a team effort. It truly is to be able to do what we do every day. At the container terminals, the relentless pursuit to improve vessel productivity continues. Our staff continues to lead that charge, working hand-in-hand with the ILA, our stevedores, and our ocean carrier customers. We're seeing small improvements. Work continues to scale those across full vessels and services and see market change. Configuration and testing for our terminal operating system upgrade continues, migrating to N4.4.0. This is the initial step we need to implement our new customer service portal and implement full truck appointment functionality by Q3 of this year. Back to the agenda. Like I mentioned, only one item on there for your consideration. We're requesting truck gate lane hardware to support current expansion at the security component of the Bayport ingate. Happy to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I request your approval for M1.
How many trucks are we handling now versus how many now?
So we're seeing about 10,000 trucks a day going through both terminals, and that is held pretty steady. What this does is it right sizes the security checkpoint with the rest of the main processing gate lanes, so we can make sure that we expedite every single truck visit. The way we're organizing and developing the appointment system is where we can actually cap the hourly trucks through the gate complexes and actually shrink the peaks that we're seeing today. But what this does is it kind of right-sizes it so we don't have a bottleneck as we continue to see growth and grow into those expanded hours that we've talked a lot about.
It's not so much increase.
It's a little bit of both. It's right sizing a existing choke point and allowing us to grow into the future, as well as expedite every single truck visit.
Motion.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor, say aye. Thank you. Thanks, Ryan. No items on people and I on SEO. We have Chief Buck.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Morning. I'm Fire Chief William Buck of Port Security and Emergency Operations. I'm representing two agenda items for your consideration today and approval, but I'll only be speaking to one. The first item is a hazardous material incident response contract. We are seeking approval for a two-year contract with a two-year option to provide a pre-qualified vendor to support hazmat responses as needed. The Port of Houston Fire Department will continue to serve as the first responder and will contain any hazardous materials incidents. This contract assures immediate supporting response capability and establishes pre-negotiated pricing, first to Hazmat International, followed by Lone Star Hazmat, and then by Resolute Environmental, to ensure functionality. If there are no questions, I respectfully request your approval on items 01 and 02.
Okay. Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Thank you.
Buck. Appreciate it. Okay. Candace, you're going to give us an update.
Good morning. No items for me as well, just some exciting updates for our Q1 wrap-up of our strategic plan target pathway. So just to give some ideas and some background, remind you of our target set late last year to set us on a great path for 2026. So the teams across the organization are progressing exceptionally well through our targets. I'm happy to report that all targets are on track as of Q1. Before I dive into these, though, I would like to give an exciting update that we got yesterday. Our grants team got word that we were awarded a $48 million port infrastructure grant through our DOT and MARAD friends. So I'm happy to share that with you as well, hot off the press, and we'll be putting that to good use. So lots of work into that, lots of individuals within our organization, so kudos to that team. And that dives into how we accomplish all of these things. So, you know, reminder, we have our 7 C's, our channel, cargo, change, community, connection, culture, and capital. You've already heard updates from Paulo and Charlie, Chairman Campo, Maria, on some significant ones, including Anchored in Action, new crane arrivals, and the submission of the Army Corps of Engineers permit application for what could be our next container terminal. Some other ones I would like to highlight, though. The team also submitted a permit for our Bayport East End to the Army Corps of Engineers to grow that area of the terminal. We're advancing very rapidly yard development and rehabilitation projects across Bayport. That grant will be put to good use in that way. This week, we're holding two stakeholder information sessions, actually one today and one on Thursday, to continue our Clean Ports program external outreach. We're aligning our roadway projects to our local planning organizations like HGAC and TxDOT. We've launched and are progressing our employee development programs. We've implemented a flex work bank of hours to allow flexibility with our staff. And our project teams have begun integrating process improvements to our project development process. These initiatives follow all of our commitments to championing local opportunities, maximizing cargo capacity and regional competitiveness, but also elevating our team experience. So this kind of wraps up my Q1 update. There's lots of things going on. I could probably speak much, much longer, but I'll leave you with those highlights. Unless you have any questions, I'm happy to dive into those.
Commissioners, thank you.
Thanks,
Candace. Next up, we have technology, James O'Brien. James?
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is James O'Brien. I'm the Information Security Officer for Port Houston. Pleased to be here this morning to present to you. The Technology Division, Section Q, has only one item for your consideration. Prior to discussing the item, I'd like to provide a high-level update for the cybersecurity program. The Information Security Department continues to strengthen Port Houston's overall security posture through initiatives supported by the Commission, partnering with the PSCO Division, senior leadership, staff, and trusted partners. We're taking steps to mature our cybersecurity program, overall capability, to enhance next-gen protections and best support safe and reliable port operations. Information security is integrated into strategic decision-making throughout the port to reduce cyber risk and improve resilience. I appreciate the Port's Commission's continued support as we move this program forward. The item I bring to you today is for a change order with the Security Information and Event Management, otherwise known as SIM, application. This solution maintains critical visibility across our environment providing cyber forensics of information for real-time detection, analysis, and investigations for responses to cyber threats. The SIM directly supports regulatory compliance and protects continuity of our port operations by reducing risk to our systems and data. This item directly supports the IT master plan for 2024 through 2028, specifically Workstream 2 NextGen InfoSec. Happy to take any questions while respectfully requesting approval for item Q1.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, James. Okay. That concludes our agenda. We're going to go ahead and recess to closed session. So let's go ahead and...
Here's my speed reading for the day. It is 10:13 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code. To conduct a consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding a proposed amendment to the Agreement for Legal Services with Andrews Myers, Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 and 15 U.S.C.A. Section 1701, and certain Port Commission meeting governance matters, and to deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberations regarding disposition of the Galveston Bay vicinity property, economic development negotiations or incentives, employment and evaluation of public employees, including deliberation regarding employment of the Chief Executive Officer of the Port Authority, and other related matters, and security-related matters. The Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.